there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Tuesday, August 28, 2012. We were unable to broadcast on Monday. Tropical storm Isaac walloped Florida's Treasure Coast yesterday with violent thunderstorms, heavy rain, and wind. A continuous stream of dangerous storm cells from the Florida Keys traveled along the Atlantic coast most of the day. A tornado touched down only a half mile from the True News office. Approximately 20 homes were destroyed or damaged. Although our building didn't have any damage from the storm, the tornado took out the electrical power lines for our area. And when the power went out in the office, Susan drove to the post office, which is very close to us. She called me minutes later and said, "I know why the power is out. The post office parking lot and the highway are strewn with metal and debris and down trees." An employee of the post office told me a tornado just touched down. Well, thank God we were protected. We were, however, without power throughout most of the day. And by the time the electricity was restored, it was simply too late to produce and distribute a program. Our apologies. Isaac is in the Gulf of Mexico today, moving toward the Gulf Coast. Hurricane storm warnings have been issued for nearly 300 miles of the U.S. Gulf Coast, from the Florida-Alabama state line to Morgan City, Louisiana. New Orleans, Biloxi, and Gulf Shores are in danger. Eerily, Isaac is following the same path as Hurricane Katrina in 2005 and will most likely make landfall on the 7th-year anniversary of that deadly hurricane. You may recall that last week, Pastor Dan Bowler prophesied on True News that New Orleans will be hit someday by another mega hurricane that will finish the city's existence. Now, he didn't give a date, so we don't know if it's this storm. It's creepy, however, that Isaac is headed towards New Orleans 7 years to the day as Katrina. Seven is the biblical number of completion. Isaac means "I shall laugh." Now, meteorologists do not expect Isaac to reach the strength of Katrina, but it still has the potential to do a lot of damage. The big concern will be flooding. Government officials are confident that the levees will withstand the storm surge. Katrina surged at nearly 28 feet. Isaac is expected to create a 9-foot storm surge, and the levees should hold that. The other major concern is the potential for a swarm of tornadoes. We were on the far side of the storm yesterday, and I witnessed strong cloud rotation yesterday afternoon. There is also concern in Louisiana regarding the expanding bayou sinkhole that is dangerously close to an underground liquid butane tank holding over 900,000 barrels of the highly combustible liquid. I ask our True News audience around the world to pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ along the Gulf Coast, that God will dispatch angels to protect them and their families and their properties. There's another concern on the west coast of the USA. A swarm of earthquakes has residents of Imperial County, California, jittery today as the ground beneath them continues to rumble. Over 400 tremors have been detected since Sunday. Last June, the U.S. military welcomed a team of Russian Spetsnaz commandos to Fort Carson, Colorado, for joint training with American Special Forces. Now, a team of Russian military experts are inside the top-secret NORAD base deep underground near Colorado Springs. The Russians are taking part in joint training exercises designed to simulate a hostile takeover of an airplane by terrorists above the Arctic Circle. The Attentive Eagle 2012 anti-terrorism drill started yesterday, though end tomorrow. Members of the Canadian Air Force are also participating. A team led by Russian Major General Sergei Dronov is operating out of the North American Aerospace Defense Command facility at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. A second Russian team is operating out of Almendorf Air Force Base in Alaska. Last week, I mentioned that a source told me that tens of thousands of Spetsnaz commandos have been permitted to infiltrate the USA this summer. On the surface, most people who get their concept of reality from the mainstream news media would dismiss that report as nonsense. When you connect it, however, to the fact that our government has now invited Russian troops into NORAD, you have to pause and consider the possibility that America's communist president is setting us up for a takeover. Once again, I must ask the question, is this the real reason that the Department of Homeland Security is stockpiling over a billion rounds of ammo? Just who are they planning to slaughter? Let me put this into perspective. We know that DHS has purchased at least 1.2 billion rounds of ammo, mostly hollow point. We also know that other federal agencies are stockpiling ammo. We also know that the feds are now redacting the numbers in new purchase orders, so we don't have a full knowledge of the amount of ammo they're purchasing. But let's focus on the 1.2 billion rounds that we know that DHS has purchased. Now compare it to the Iraq War. At the height of the Iraq War, U.S. troops were expending 1.8 billion rounds of ammo per year. We're talking about an all-out war in Iraq. Our troops fired off 600,000 rounds more than Homeland Security purchased for the USA. Once again, I ask, who is Homeland Security planning to slaughter? Are they stockpiling it for the Russians? The Muslim Brotherhood? UN troops? Whatever the answer is, it's not a good answer. Dr. Igor Panarin, Dean of the Russian Foreign Ministry School for Diplomats, predicts that El Presidente Macdaddy will declare martial law in America before the end of 2012. Mr. Panarin predicted in 2009 that the USA would begin to collapse in 2010 and eventually be divided into regions controlled by Russia, China, Mexico, and Europe. He said that mass immigration, economic decline, and moral degradation would plunge the USA into a civil war. He now believes that there is a 55% likelihood that Marxist revolutionary Barry Satoru, who goes by the alias Barack Hussein Obama, will impose martial law this year. Meanwhile, Canada's National Post reports that former World Bank economist Richard Duncan says in his new book, The New Depression, that the USA is no longer under a capitalist system because it's been changed by the central bankers who've taken control of the printing presses, and the nation is collapsing in a debt deflation spiral. Also in the Financial Post, Bank of America's top economist Ethan Harris said the USA is in the eye of a storm, and he's not talking about Isaac, he's talking about a financial storm, and Bank of America strategists Arjun Mehra and Cheryl Rowan issued a warning to investors entitled Code Red. They said the risk of a stock market sell-off is very high. And the London Telegraph said a more severe crash than the one triggered by the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008 could be on the way, according to alarm signals in the credit markets. One senior London-based bank executive told the newspaper, quote, I think we are heading for a market shock in September or October that will match anything we've seen before. Now, here's another sign. There is a violent, bloody international banker war underway. Yes, the Third World War is actually a world war among central banks. That's what's happening, friends. It is a bank war. A lot of bankers are dying lately. No wonder so many are retiring early. The latest casualty is the 29-year-old daughter of a wealthy New York family found dead at the bottom of a Manhattan stairwell. Police think that Carlisle Brigham tripped over her high heels and fell down the stairwell. She was covered in so much blood that the police initially thought she had been knifed to death. Now they say it was only a freak accident. Watch out for those stairwells. I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News. We'll take a break. I'll be back in a minute with my guest.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
The consequences of rebellion may not always be obvious or immediate, but God will not be mocked by individuals or nations. Here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
The laws of God are not suggestions. And the wonderful laws of God about His grace and love and mercy and protection and watch care and provision, they're not suggestions that God gives. These are the laws of God, the promises of God. The promises of God for good and the promises of God that concern evil. They're the laws of God. And we are watching it happen in our very nation. We know why we are where we are. We decided, not us particularly, but we decided, take that Bible business out of the schools. Get that prayer business out of the schools. Don't talk about God. Take the crosses down. Besides that, go ahead and live any kind of an immoral life you want to live. And besides that, let's just decide you can have any kind of marriage you want. Forget God's law about marriage. And now, people want to undress and walk around naked. Do you know what that is? It's not a desire not to wear clothes. It is a desire to rebel against every single thing that is good and decent and holy. God put clothes on Adam and Eve because He intended for them to wear them. You think God is going to ignore that? No, He's not. We are where we are in this nation because we have made and allowed decisions to be made. Each one of the ones I just told you is an act of rebellion against Almighty God and His Word. There are consequences to rebellion against God. And somebody says, well, we don't even believe there is a God. I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. Rebellion against God brings consequences that are inevitable and inescapable in the life of individuals as well as the life of a nation.
To learn more about trusting Christ as your Savior from the penalty of sin, go to the middle of our homepage at intouch.org and click on the links under All Things Are New.
Well, welcome back to True News, Heaven's End Time News Network. We've been given the honor of reporting day-to-day the spectacular events that are leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the full manifestation of His glorious kingdom. What a privilege. I take this responsibility very seriously. Almighty God's hand has been upon this ministry and me for many years, and I tremble when I think about the responsibility that is on me to conduct the affairs of this ministry honorably before the Lord and to impart to people around the world to the best of my abilities what our Heavenly Father desires to say to us in this monumental hour in mankind's history. You and I are alive in an age that the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles only had a divine glimpse in their spirit would arrive someday. You and I have front row seats for the final acts of human history before God pulls down the curtain on this messed up world and installs a kingdom of righteousness and holiness that will reign forever. I hope you count it an honor and privilege to be used by God to support this international radio ministry. We are saying things on the radio that very few people dare to say openly. And the ministry continues to produce good fruit. I receive emails, letters, and telephone calls every week from people telling us that they've been saved through Jesus Christ by listening to True News. Others tell me that they started reading the Bible again after neglecting it for many years. Others tell me that their prayer life has been deepened. And others tell me that they are gaining spiritual strength and nourishment from the programs. We are in the final days of the month of August, and as God has done for 13 years, we shall, by faith in Jesus Christ, pay all of this Ministries monthly invoices by this Friday. We invite you to partake in the joyful fruit of this end-time ministry by contributing to the monthly expenses of True News this week. You can give online at truenews.com, T-R-U-N-E-W-S, truenews.com. If you use PayPal, our payee address is support@truenews.com, support@truenews.com. And if you want to send a letter, address it to True News, Post Office Box 690069, P.O. Box 690069 in Vero Beach, Florida. The zip code is 32969. I received an email last week from a Christian woman in Switzerland who listens to True News. Her name is Catherine. She told me about a dream she had on July 28th of this year. And in the dream, she heard a woman say that a movement of God is coming, that very big judgments of God are coming, but also a big movement of God's Holy Spirit. She was told in the dream that the judgments will be so big that even devout, saved Christians will be shocked. And in the dream, she saw the judgments unfold like a film. She said she put her hands over her ears and cried and knew that many people, including lukewarm Christians, will lose their minds. She said, yes, buy some food and prepare, but more importantly, prepare your soul for what is coming. She said, time is running out to prepare because so many people listened to false teachers who told them that good times are coming, and so they didn't use the time to prepare. But now, she said, all you can do is prepare your soul for what is coming. Well, I have on the phone with me today an old friend. His name is Stephen, and he and his wife were one of the first people to be connected to this ministry, even before I was on the radio, when I had just left TBN in 1998 and started preaching in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and then traveling around the country. And we started the radio program in May of 1999. But this couple, God connected them to us early in the ministry, and they moved to Montana, and we kind of lost touch with them. We talked a few times after they moved. Stephen was visiting the Metroplex. He stopped by and said hello to us. But over the years, we basically lost communication with each other. But I recently got a phone call from him, and I was just amazed at what God was doing in his life. Stephen is on the telephone right now from a location in Central America, and I asked him to come on True News today and just share his heart. Stephen, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Rick.
Glad to hear you. Glad to hear your voice. Just for the benefit of our international radio audience, just paint a give us a visual picture of your surroundings right now.
I tell you what, the best surroundings you can be right where God tells you to be.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the most beautiful place in the world to be, right in the center of His will, because what's coming is, and I kind of want to go to a place where we have been, you know, understanding what you know and what you've known through the years, that all of us want to be prepared for what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stephen, let's start. You know, in the beginning, you know, when we first met, you and your wife, you know, somehow the Lord led you to us. We weren't even on the radio yet in Dallas, Fort Worth, and you got connected to us, and then you guys decided to sell your property, move to Montana, and you raised a family in
yeah.
Montana, and basically, you know, you thought, hey, I heard the warning, I took action, and you know, I prepared and I got ready.
And I figured that this was the best we could find. You know, that my eyes just kept going to the direction of where we ended up, and the God just directly led us to that place, and we were there, and I felt pretty hunkered down. I felt pretty prepared for whatever may come our way, and God was blessing us there, and I got a very alarming word from the Lord earlier this year, and I was laying in bed, and you know, all of us want to make a comfort zone. We want to make ourselves where we feel secure, we feel safe, we feel at peace and at rest. And I'm laying there in bed, and all of a sudden I see myself in atop of a tree in a nest, and I hear these words, "Your nest is in the wrong forest." And I had heard the word, the Lord tell me a few times that I can't prepare enough for what's coming. And I kept, you know, I didn't really like those words, so I thought, well, I'll just prepare a little bit more. And then when he said that my nest was in the wrong forest, and I kind of like looked down at the bottom of my tree, and there's this mark at the bottom of the tree for cutting, I knew I didn't matter how well I was prepared. If I wasn't where God wanted me to be, it was all for naught. And my whole direction began to change. And it's amazing that I think a lot of us get this way. Maybe a lot of listeners right now can just kind of relate that, you know, you get your weapons or whatever you feel like you need to prepare to protect your family, your food, your lighting. You know, you can have all the stuff, but you know what? If you're not where God wants you to be, it's all for naught. And I just, all of a sudden, I just realized it wasn't my provision. Almost in some ways became my God in a way that I didn't really need. And I thought about that guy that thought about building a bigger barn that, I'll just make sure I got plenty. So I built a bigger barn. And then the Lord says, you know, your soul shall be required of you. I thought about that guy and I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter how big the barn is. If you're not being obedient, it's all for naught. So I said, well, Lord, where do you want? What are you saying? And I just began to look and, I got a phone call from a gentleman, and it just led us on a direction that God directed each one of our steps. But I, in the process of this, I mean, I went and sold all my provision, and everything that I had, I just began to give it away, and almost in faith, knowing God was going to give us a new home. And my trust began to just explode in just trusting God. And not in my stuff anymore. And
Stephen, when did you have this dream where you were in a nest at the top of the tree?
I would say it was probably in February or March. I felt kind of a stirring, like I needed to look someplace else, and I began to take a few business trips. I traveled on with sales, so I was on the road quite a bit and had a lot of time to think. And I had that word probably in February or March.
And of 2012?
Yes, of this year.
Okay, now, Stephen, I want to ask you, give me the true answer. You're not going to hurt my feelings, you know. You and I, we kind of lost touch with each other over the years. Had you been listening to True News on a regular basis from the time you left Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, moved to Montana?
Rick, to be real honest with you, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but no.
Okay. All right. I'm asking this because were you listening to other end-time prophecy programs?
No, I wasn't. This was directly a word from the Lord. And so it wasn't somebody, I'm following somebody else's footsteps. You know, the Lord told me a long time ago, he said, if you'll follow man's footsteps, you can only go where man's been before. He said, if you'll follow me, I'll take you where no man's been before. And I always tried to just hear from the Lord, even though many times a man will confirm what the Lord's saying. I don't base the things I do because somebody said something.
Right. Okay.
I want to know for sure.
Right. Well, okay. So this is what I wanted our audience to hear. You heard the message I was preaching in 98, 99, and you said, hey, I believe this is from the Lord. I'm out of here. I'm taking my family to the mountains of Montana, and I'm going to hunker down there, and I'm going to stockpile, and and I'm going to get ready. But you didn't continue to listen to our program or any other end time program. You just went about your daily affairs. You in your mind, you tell me if I'm saying this right, in your mind you thought, I heard the warning, I acted, and everything's okay now.
Well, I did, because I knew it was God's hand that put us where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, unless God changes his mind or redirects us, you know, you couldn't peel us out of here. You know, it was a fantastic place. But then, you know, I didn't really like the words that you can't prepare enough for what's coming. And I just thought, well, maybe I just didn't hear them right. But then when I heard those words that my nest was in the wrong forest, I knew my alarm bell went off. And I knew it was time to make some new course of actions and really hear God's voice. You know, Rick, the first thing I said to God when I got saved back about 25 years ago, I said, God, I said, above everything else, I want to know your voice. I want to know it's really you speaking to me. Because I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to think I'm hearing from you, but then I find I go off the edge of a cliff, you know, thinking I heard from God on a direction. And so my main focus was I wanted to hear from God and know it was him. And when I said those words to him, I said, how do I really know it's you? And these words came back to me just as strong as ever, said, eliminate the devil. And I think to myself, I don't even think like that. Where did a thought like that come from? And I thought, next thought that came to my mind was, what in the world does that mean? And the next thought hit my mind was, eliminate every error in your life you've been deceived in. And it's like these two hands came out in front of me and said, Andrew, look, he said, I'm come to give you life and give it more abundantly. I'm the spirit of truth. And the other hand, Satan's the father of lies. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, eliminate one. What do you got left? And so I thought, well, that seems so simple. So I began to go throughout my life, and I was just freshly saved, and I started thinking about areas of my life that I knew deception was coming in. And I remember the words that he said. He said, eliminate. He said, don't do in moderation, cut back on. He said, eliminate every area in your life that you know is not me, essentially. And as I began to do that, God's voice began to get so clear. I mean, I was driving my car one day, leaving work, getting on a freeway, and I look over my shoulder to make sure I get on the freeway, and I hear these words, if you'll live in me, I'll live in you. And I mean, I don't think like this. And I was just reading the Bible for the first time. I'm reading John. It talked about how if we'll dwell in him, he'll dwell in us. And I'm thinking, wow, that was God speaking to me. And I was so excited because I was actually hearing God's voice. But, you know, many times for all of us, we don't like what God's telling us to say, you know, telling us to do. And a lot of times we don't even know it's God's voice until we actually obey it, that voice. And then we find out after we obey, we go, wow, that was God. And so I just want to encourage people out there right now that kind of have a hunch this is God speaking to you. Maybe it might be a hard thing to hear, or maybe a hard thing to do. It may be totally contrary to your flesh. But I just want to encourage you just to step out and do it. And God's not going to be contrary to his will or to his word either. So, you know, be in the word and he's not going to tell you to do something that's not, you know, backed up by his word either.
That's right. You know, I was thinking when you said the Lord told you eliminate the devil, get rid of every place that you've given place to Satan in your life, you'll hear God's voice. We've all experienced when two radio stations are, you know, bleeding over each other. Signal comes in from another radio station, starts to drown out the station you were listening to.
Exactly.
And that's what Satan does. Satan drowns out God's voice in our lives, but it's because we've got some receivers, we've got some receptors somewhere in our life, in our home, that's allowing that signal to come in. Get rid of those receivers, get rid of those antennas, get rid of those receptors in your life, and that signal from hell won't bleed in anymore and drown out God's voice.
Well, it's interesting that you make that analogy, because that's almost the analogy I almost saw. I saw myself in a room full of radios, and there was, say, half a dozen to a dozen radios playing, and they're all on different stations, but there was only one right station. And what the Lord was saying is, if you know this is not the right station, turn it off. Don't turn it down, because all it's going to do is continue confusion in your life. You won't know which voice is real or which one's mine. So if you know it's not me, turn the radio off completely. Don't leave it on at all. And as I did that, then the right voice began to get louder and louder. It became before it could be until it got so distinct, there was no question it was God's voice.
That's a very good point. So let's go back to where this all started. You you're living your life in.
Well, I'll tell you. Let me kind of
yes, sir. Go
continue
ahead.
Where I was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was I was just finishing up a trade show, and I was on my way back across probably North Dakota, out in Nowheresville, and I just was leaving. Probably maybe a few hours I've been driving on the road, and I hear the Lord tell me clearly that was my last road trip, that I would not be on anymore. And this was on April 30th. And on May 1st, we took a plane flight to do some exploration of where maybe God had us to go. And it was almost like a clear defining moment in time for us that it went April 30th. And then all of a sudden, here it is, May 1st was a dividing line in our lives. And I never looked back. It's like there was almost like a dividing line between April 30th and May 1st.
When did you start to plan that trip, May 1st?
It was maybe 2 weeks before that. But I didn't know that I would never be going on another road trip again. I mean, mm-hmm. it was like I had finished one chapter of my life had been turned over, and a page had been laid over, and a period had been written at the end of that page.
All right. So, I'm aware of your business that you've had for years, and so you travel a lot, and you're driving back from North Dakota to your home in Montana, April 30th, and the Lord says to you, "This is your last road trip."
Yes.
And you had that feeling come over you: a chapter has just closed in my life.
Yes, it was definitely a chapter. And about this point in time, I was beginning to listen back to your program again. And I was actually on a business trip, and I was just on YouTube looking some things, and I thought a picture looked kind of interesting on a YouTube clip. I was looking at some prophetic things, and I ran across a guy named Nathan Liao. And I was listening to his words, what he had to say, and my spirit just leaped when I heard what he had to say. And then I heard him mention your name, and I said, "Wow, I wonder what Rick's doing these days." So I got on your website and began to hear some of your programs, and it was just amazing. I just picked right up where I left off. I feel like in some ways, you know, I kind of hit the snooze button. And God called my alarm clock again, and it was blaring in my ear.
And you had never heard of Nathan Liao?
I never heard of him in my life, no.
And so this is what, sometime mid to late April that you came across
yes.
Nathan Liao?
Yeah, probably mid-April.
And then, if I recall, you heard Nathan mention True News? And
yes.
Because this is about the time in mid-April that we had our Watchman's meeting, where Nathan and his family and Steve Quayle and a whole bunch of people came here to Vero Beach, and we had 4 days of private talks about the state of the country right now. And that's when that happened. And then when they all left, I went on a fast that first week of May, and at the beginning of May, the Lord spoke to me and said, "May, June, July, the fate of many people will be sealed. Some will make good decisions. Some will make bad decisions. Some will make right decisions. Some will make wrong decisions. But their fate will be sealed in the next 90 days." And I knew then, Stephen, that the window of opportunity to prepare was coming to a quick end. And you're telling me the Lord told you on April 30th you made your last trip, and then on May 1st you're on a plane to go explore a possible new place to live. It's amazing,
right.
Amazing
it is, and
turn
also
of events.
It's amazing too that you know, just recently you interviewed Henry Gruber,
mm-hmm.
and he confirmed the very same thing that the Lord had told you, that God was going to be separating the sheep from the goats during May, June, and July. mm-hmm. over the next 3 months, essentially. And you know, I was thinking about this last night, Rick, that that the difference between the sheep and the goats is so the obedient and the disobedient. That it's the people's choices that they make in the near future that's determining whether they are sheep or goats by the decisions they're making, whether they're obedient or disobedient. And I thought last night, for the first time I had really thought about this before, but you think about the five foolish virgins, the five wise virgins, and both of them were virgins, but yet some were wise and some were foolish. And I've always thought about being prepared, but the Lord has been showing me the difference of being prepared and being obedient. Because he asked me a question, he said, Stephen, which is better? Is it better to be obedient or be prepared? And I thought to myself, it's better to be obedient, because if you're obedient, it doesn't matter your preparation that you've got. You're obedient, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. So this is the important thing, I think, for everybody right now, is that you got to be obedient. We had a word from the Lord the other day that that is so important for you to be obedient, in the sense that he wants you to be where he tells you to be and when he tells you to be there. And he saw, in the spirit, I just kind of saw like my finger pointing a direction. Like it's like a plane, two planes intersecting, two lines intersecting of time and place. That if you're where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there, if you take your two forefingers, it makes an X. And what he was telling me is that the X marks the spot, just like on a treasure map. That is where your treasure is. That is where your divine destiny and appointments are, is if you're being obedient to what God is telling you to do. So I want to encourage people to be obedient. Whatever God is telling you to do right now, just do it. Don't question it. Just do it. And you may not understand it, but it's almost like I saw another vision of a plane that's on the runway. And the Lord was telling me that the fuel in the plane is your obedience today. Is that by your actions today, whatever God is telling you to do today, even if you don't understand what it is or why he's telling you to do it, if you'll be obedient to do what he tells you to do, that is going to be the fuel in your airplane. So when God tells you it's time to go, or he sends you on your destiny, that you'll have the fuel in your plane to take off, that you'll clear the end of the runway. But he was telling me that the disobedient won't have enough fuel in their tank, that when they come to the end of the runway, they'll crash and burn. But they won't leave. They won't take off to their destiny because of their disobedience today. And I thought about also, Judas was a disciple of Jesus. And if you look in John, it said that Judas held the bag, that he had the bag, but he dipped his hand in the bag. And I always asked God, I said, God, why would you give a steward as a thief? I thought you rewarded stewardship with opportunity and things like, why did you give the thief the stewardship of the money bag? And the Lord spoke to me and said that I did that to deal with his heart, that to show him that every time he dipped his hand in the bag, that his heart wasn't right with me, because my heart was so out to reach him that he wouldn't fail, that he wouldn't fail that final exam of life, that he had the opportunities to strengthen himself along the way by being obedient and not dipping his hand in the bag. But when it came his final exam, he flunked all the pop tests along the way, and so he crashed and burned at the end of the runway by his disobedience through those years that he was supposed to be obedient. And so that's the critical nature, Rick, that I'm hearing right now in my spirit, is obedience, obedience, obedience. And it's the difference of whether you're going to have fuel in your lamp or your lamp is going to not have enough fuel when it comes time for the preparation of the bride, and you're going to go into the bride chamber. I mean, it is so important right now that people are obedient.
And obedience doesn't come overnight. It comes over many years of making the right decision. God will test us. And if you look back over your life, you'll see all of the small test and big test that God put in our lives, and those were tests for obedience. And he was building into us a record, a track record of being obedient, making the right decisions. I can look back over 10, 20, 30 years And I can tell you the times I was obedient. I can also tell you the times I was disobedient. And the consequences. And see, disobedience is not necessarily, oh, I went and committed a sin. No, it's not doing what God told you to do at that time. And I can see the consequences in my life for being disobedient. But, Stephen, I know that over the many years of walking with the Lord, my heart's cry has been, I desire to be obedient. That's what I want to be, Father. I want to be obedient. I want you to be pleased and happy with me as a son, that I obey, that you give me an instruction and I obey. That truly is my heart's desire. And we're at that place in time right now that obedience could mean the difference between life and death.
It really is, Rick. Is that critical right now in everybody's life? That, you know, it is so important right now that people understand the seriousness of what's going on right now in the world. You know, a lot of people think they're free. They have all these freedoms. The Lord told me a while back that he said, you think you're free? He said, you just live in a wildlife park and you haven't found the fence yet. You know, a lot of people live in this illusion, this make-believe fantasy land. They don't want anybody to disturb their comfort zone. They want even the comfort zone of their mind. You know, your radio program, Rick, disturbs the comfort zone of many people, and they don't like that. They don't want to hear the truth. And I think that's part of the problem why a lot of people have rejected God's voice in their life. You know, I feel like the Lord said to me the other day that many Americans know my word, but they don't know my voice. And there's a big difference between knowing his word and knowing his voice. It's the difference. I remember one time I was driving on a road trip one time, and I looked over it. I had my Bible in my passenger seat, and the map, I think, was laying next to it. And he said that my word is like that map, that it'll guide you in life, you know, that making right choices and right decisions. But then just recently he showed me the difference between having the road map in the car or having the GPS on the windshield, is that if you have his voice in your life, it's like having that GPS that's telling you, speaking to you, turn left, turn right, and there's no time wasted between you having to look down and glance at your map and pull over the side of the road, because you just know his word. Right now, I want to encourage people, get to know his voice. If you don't know his voice, Jesus said that my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow the voice of another. He'll hear me, and they follow me. And it doesn't say that they know my word. It said they know my voice. So I just want to encourage people that the importance of knowing his voice right now more than any other time in their life.
And the first thing to do is turn off all the other voices.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Going back to the radio analogy, turn off the distraction, the distortions. Get that stuff out of your life. Whatever. Somebody always has your ear, Stephen. Somebody always has your ear. You're always listening to somebody. So you have to make a conscious decision who you're giving your ear to.
Well, exactly. And also, I mean, the Lord told me one time when I was busy watching news, Fox News or whatever, And the Lord said to me, Stephen, do you want to make the news or do you want to watch the news? And I just, you know, I realized that our, you know, we spend so much time watching the news instead of making the news. You know, we ought to be in prayer. We ought to be, we don't realize the power that we have in prayer. And yet we're so busy just being entertained by the news. And I feel like the Lord even said to me that the election was an illusion of hope, that so many people are just watching the news and just watching what's going on that they're not getting prepared. I ran into a guy back in 2009, and I said, we were talking, and he said that he had recently seen a commemorative coin that had George Washington's image on one side and Barack Obama's on the other side, and said he was just examining this interesting-looking commemorative coin, and as he looked at the coin, he hears these words, the first and the last. And, you know, when he was telling me this, I thought, wow, could that really be? And, you know, if you imagine, just imagine right now, what if he was that very thing that that guy heard, the first and the last, that George was the first and Barack was, Obama was the last? Would you be making decisions differently right now? Or is your hope in an election, hope in man? And I feel like right now that people's hope has got to be in God. They can't be in the election. It can't be in a man that's going to save the day, because literally we're at a point right now that only God could save the day.
I talk to a lot of very, very sincere Christians who, you know, who will say to me, Rick, don't be so pessimistic. You know, Romney's not the the best guy, but you know, let's get the guy elected, and you know, at least maybe we can change the country, and we'll try to you know, make things right. And when you said that the election is just an illusion of hope, that resonates in my spirit, because that's exactly what millions of Christians in this country, the USA, this is what they're doing. They're hoping that just by getting rid of Obama and putting in Mitt Romney, that's going to solve the problem. But it's not going to stop the abortions. It's not going to stop the gay marriage. It's not going to stop the pornography. It's not going to stop the greed. It's not going to stop the nation's embracing of sin. No man, no politician is going to lead the nation out of this mess. It will only be true repentance and turning from our sin and embracing the commandments of God that will save the country.
And you know, the sad thing is, I think that most Americans won't get desperate for God until they get desperate. That it's going to take a state of desperation in their lives to get desperate for God. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be desperate for Him, whether we're desperate or not, because we don't realize how badly we need Him every day. It's just His grace that we can take a breath of air. You know, it says that without me, you can do nothing. So, you know, we take everything for granted. We take our freedoms, we take our rights, we take our breath that we take every day. I remember a couple old people that I knew that were instrumental in my life, and they were so thankful for every day that they had. When they woke up in the morning, they were pretty old at this time, and they look over at each other and they say, "Are you alive?" He said, "Yes." "Are you alive?" "Yes." "Well, hallelujah." So, you know, we don't realize that we don't take every day as a precious gift. And in this time right now, so important that if you're sitting there watching, hoping for this thing to change, and you're doing nothing in your own life to be obedient to what God is telling you to do. You know, people don't know that it takes a while to get a passport. It takes a while to do all these things. You can't just all of a sudden, "Oh, well, I think I'm going to go," or "I'm going to go here," or "I'm going to do this." It takes time. It takes money. One of the things that, you know, God has been telling me over the last 3 or 4 years is to save, save, save. And I didn't understand why, but now I do. And the obedience in that area of my life has allowed us to go. I know a lot of people that would love to go and leave and go someplace, go to a new place, but they have been spending everything they have when they get it and not been good stewards of what they've been given. They didn't realize what's coming.
Stephen, we've got about roughly about 4 or 5 minutes remaining, and I want to go back to something. You know, when I opened up the interview, I mentioned about the email that I received from this woman, Catherine, in Switzerland, and she's listening to True News, and she had this dream last month in which she was told in the dream that there's a big movement of God's Spirit coming, but also great judgments, and that the judgments would be so great that even strong Christians would be frightened by what's coming. And I'm thinking about another man who listens to True News that he told me that at the beginning of May, he had a terrifying dream in which he was running down the street and everything was on fire. And he said it was just, there was no sense to anything he was doing. He was just trying to get away from the flames. And when he woke up, he just had this immediate feeling, "I need to sell this house and get out of this city." And again, this was the first day or two of May. And then he told me a few weeks ago, he said, I went to closing on the last day of the last few days of July. And he said, Rick, I thought back to the prophetic word you told us that we were going to make decisions in May, June, and July that would seal our fate. And so he was moved by a prophetic dream that he had. Get out of this city, sell this house, and get out of this city. Everything's going to burn, okay? And so he acted on that prophetic dream, and he managed to get the house sold and go to closing at the end of July. You were led by the Lord in just recent months, and he woke you up and said, you're in the wrong forest. I mean, this is amazing, Stephen. You took a trip to another country. You found a home. You went back to your house in Montana. You sold or gave away everything. That is an amazing thing. I mean, I'm in awe of what God has done in your life in just a few minutes. Take these last remaining minutes and just talk about the urgency to obey God right now.
Well, let me tell you something here too, Rick, that I think is important. It took Pharaoh's army on the backside of Israel to get them to the promised land. It was Pharaoh's army chasing them down that forced them in the right direction of where God wanted them to go. And I feel like this has all been God's supernatural provision and also his direction. But it's taken realizing Pharaoh's army is on our backside right now, that judgment is coming. I was in Israel several times, and I was with someone going up to Masada, and they said, you know, I heard an archaeologist say that Sodom and Gomorrah was not too far from here. So we began to wander. And if you're going up to Masada, about a quarter of a mile before you go to the parking lot right there, if you go directly left off the road and walk about maybe a quarter of a mile, you'll run into what I know as Sodom and Gomorrah, part one of the cities. And I gathered ashes, and I gathered chunks of sulfur. And I was just last night even, I lit one of these little chunks of sulfur on fire and saw this little blue flame just to remind me that God's judgment is real, that it's not something that you think that you can escape. In fact, if you think that without repentance, you know, the Lord is even saying that you can prepare to the max, but the only way to prepare for God's judgment is to repent, that God's judgment is real. And that you can run to the furthest jungle, but if your heart isn't right, if you have not repented and God's judgment is coming your way, there'll be a mosquito that finds you. And so I just want to encourage people, if there's things in your life that you have not repented of, get it right now. This is no better time than right now. And just say, Lord, forgive me. Jesus, come into my life. I turn my whole life over to you now. Just take over. You be my GPS now on my windshield, and you guide and direct me. I'm committed to turning off every false voice, every deceiving voice in my life that I know is not you. I am committed at this point in time to turning it all off. I do not want to obey any longer. I don't want two masters. I want one master, and that is you only, Lord. And I just want to encourage people to get to that point in your life right now that this is the day. Now is the time. Do not wait another day. Because every day is precious, and we don't have a guarantee for tomorrow. And especially, you need direction right now. You need whatever God's telling you to do. You need time to make those decisions. And so today is the day. I just want encouragement. Now is the time.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray for everybody. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Stephen and I pray, Father, for the radio audience that's listening to this conversation. Father, we pray that your peace that passes all understanding would enter into their hearts and minds right now, Father, and vanish all fear and worry, but instill peace and calmness and confidence in you, Father. Father, assure everybody that those who call upon your name, those who put their trust in your Son, in what he did for us at Calvary, that they shall live. They shall be hidden in the shadow of the Almighty, Father, that your wings are big enough for to cover all of us, that you desire to bring all of us inside and shelter us, Father. I pray, Father, for everyone listening who is struggling and trying to make the right decision, that you'll speak to them, Father. They'll have calmness and peace. But, Father, that they will take the action to shut off the noise of the world and to press in and to hear your voice. And, Father, that you'll be faithful and you will respond and you will meet them. You will move towards them. If they take one step towards you, you'll take 10 towards them, Father. And that they will hear your voice and they'll get instruction from you. And there will be peace and harmony and unity in their homes and their families, and they will obey you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was going to say one other thing, that I can truly tell you right now that I have more peace with my family, where we're right where God wants us to be, in His center of His will. I mean, His divine destiny, He's placed us where we are. Divine appointments, everything has happened so much in the last few weeks, but I can just tell you that I have more peace having no food supply, no guns, no ammo, just knowing I'm right where God was, than when I had all the ammo, guns, food, everything, but not knowing us where God wants to be at that time. So I just want to say that peace will come over those that obey, and God will lead you, and God will prepare wherever He takes you.
That's a good way to close this interview. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate you taking time to share with us today.
Thank you, Rick.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
Well, as we close this Tuesday program, I want to pray for God's protection over all of our listeners along the Gulf of Mexico coast and any community that would be in direct line of this storm, Isaac. As I told you yesterday, we received just the far side of the storm, and it sent a lot of violent thunderstorms and heavy rain and wind through Vero Beach, even a tornado touching down just less than a half a mile from our office. Thank God that we were protected and spared. We will pray that you also will be protected from any damage from this storm. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I ask you to dispatch angels to the homes of every man and woman listening to this program. Father, for all of our brethren throughout all the churches in the Gulf of Mexico region, Father, protect them. Protect their lives and protect their families. Protect their homes and their dwellings and their properties, Father. I pray, Father, that a holy wall of fire will be placed around them, and that they shall be safe in the midst of the storm, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, because you are a kind and loving God, and our trust is in you. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to thank all of our partners who are standing with this ministry. This coming Friday is the last day of August, and as usual, we pay all of our bills for this ministry by the last day of the month. The Lord has been faithful month after month since May of 1999. He's never missed a month, and I know He's not going to miss this month. He won't miss your month either. He'll take care of you if you put your trust in Him. We thank you for standing with True News. Go to the website to make your donation, truenews.com. Thank you. See you tomorrow.